It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. You're with us here on the Ideas Network. Coming up, a Wisconsin mayor survived COVID-19 after a long battle. We'll hear the story in a new feature from the WPR News Department. First, it's time for a regular look at the week in Washington. President Trump is calling out members of his own party who aren't supporting his attempts to overturn the results of the election, leading to friction in the White House and Congress. Last night, the president criticized the $900 billion economic relief bill recently passed by the House and Senate, saying he wants Congress to amend the bill to include $2,000 stimulus checks to individuals. Those are a couple of the stories we'll be talking about today with our guest. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What do you think of President Trump's last-minute call to rework the bill to include bigger checks and cut spending not directly related to COVID-19? Is it worth renegotiating, or should he sign it and get the assistance out to people sooner? What do you hope to see from an incoming Biden administration on future economic relief efforts and on handling the pandemic and vaccinations? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email ideas@wpr.org. Seungmin Kim is a White House reporter for The Washington Post. Seungmin, welcome back to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Well, I just laid out a couple stories there that are kind of old news now. We've got some newer news this afternoon. President Trump vetoed the big defense authorization bill, the thing that, among other things, pays U.S. troops. What is going on?
So this is an important bill that the Congress has successfully put together for the last six decades, and it sets all sorts of policy priorities for the Pentagon, and is considered one of the most important bills that Congress does every year. And you're right, it provides that critical military pay for the troops and so many other these military national security policies that our men and women in uniform really depend on. But the president's been signaling that he would veto this legislation for some time. First of all, this bill does have a provision that would prompt the renaming of military bases that are named after Confederate generals. That is not something that the president supports. And he also had been trying to push an unrelated provision related to Section 230 related to his broader beef against the so-called big tech companies. He was trying to put that into the bill, even though that is not an issue that the Pentagon deals with. So with the exclusion of that provision and also the inclusion of base renamings for leaders of the Confederacy, the president followed through on his threat and officially vetoed the legislation today.
What's been the response? This is still early, but what's been the response so far from Democrats and Republicans in Congress who voted a veto-proof majority in their initial vote on this to pass this thing?
So House Speaker Nancy Pelosi just released a statement on the matter, obviously decrying the veto and confirming that the House will vote to override the veto on December 28th. That is this coming Monday. And obviously, as you mentioned, there were veto-proof majorities in both the House and the Senate. You know, sometimes members of their own party don't follow through on actually overriding a veto because it is a defiant act against the sitting president. But if this were to happen, and there does seem to be enough support both among Democrats and, you know, enough Republicans to override this veto, it would be the first successful veto override of the Trump presidency. I actually went back and looked at when the first successful veto override of President Obama's time in office was, and was also in his final, the twilight months of his presidency. So it's easier to defy a president, even if he is the member of your own party, on his way out.
Well, another big shakeup here. We had, after months of this epic back and forth, a COVID-19 deal agreed to, reached, voted on by Congress. Last night, President Trump put a video online criticizing the deal. Here's some of what he had to say.
I am asking Congress to amend this bill and increase the ridiculously low $600 to $2,000 or $4,000 for a couple. I'm also asking Congress to immediately get rid of the wasteful and unnecessary items from this legislation.
And let's bring in a caller to start our conversation about this at 800-642-1234. Bill is with us in Sun Prairie. Bill, hi.
Hi, thanks. I understand at the top of the hour news he did veto this this bill. And so the question I have is, Mnuchin sounds like he worked his butt off trying to negotiate this with Congress. And now Trump comes out with a different point of view. Wasn't Mnuchin supposed to be representing Trump's point of view in those negotiations?
Thanks for the call, Bill. And to clarify, the president vetoed the defense bill. He's, in effect, I think, threatening to veto this spending bill slash COVID relief package. And that's, Sungmin, what a lot of people have been pointing to. President Trump wasn't really at the table, but his guy was. His Treasury Secretary was involved in the negotiations and asking, why didn't this come up sooner?
Exactly. I mean, Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin was supposed to be the administration's chief emissary to the congressional leaders. And all along, every kind of move, big major move that was made regarding the stimulus legislation, whether it was the actual provisions of the COVID relief package or the decision to pair the COVID relief package with this massive government spending bill that has to pass every year to keep the government open, that was all done with the consent of and the assent of the administration via people like Steve Mnuchin. So this is clearly, you have Mitch McConnell blindsided. You have Kevin McCarthy, the House Republican leader, blindsided as well. And only a few very, very small circle of aides knew what the president was up to yesterday afternoon. Clearly, that was Steven Mnuchin was not part of this. But White House officials were telling us all day yesterday that the president was preparing to sign this bill, all the while the president was filming this remarkable video decrying this bill elsewhere in the White House. Steven Mnuchin was kind of his idea to come up with the size of the $600 stimulus checks, obviously a lower figure than the $1,200 that was in legislation earlier this year, and also obviously a lot lower than the $2,000 figure that the president is pushing for now. And our story, our reporting that just posted on the Washington Post website indicates that the president is pretty disappointed and displeased with Steve Mnuchin right now, and is not even willing to speak to him.
Talking to Sungmin Kim, White House reporter for The Washington Post, looking at some of the top stories in national politics, including the long-awaited COVID-19 relief package. Now, the president criticizing it. You can join in with your thoughts on that at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. With this 2,000 number, I mean, the president, some progressives, including here in Wisconsin, are saying, in Congress, saying, hey, we were saying 2,000 in like April and May. And just in the last few days, you had Republicans like Senator Rand Paul criticizing 600, saying, hey, if we can make up the money to do that, kind of mocking the notion that, well, why not 1,000? Why not 2,000? The president on this one item lining up with the progressive Democrats?
It's quite the odd couple pairing, as you point out. I mean, you have everyone from, Nancy Pelosi to Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez endorsing this effort to enlarge it to $2,000, enlarge these stimulus checks to $2,000. And something that is, it's a move that is broadly disliked by the Republican Party, mostly because, to Republicans, we don't have a infinite amount of money to work with when it comes to relief. They wanted to keep the broader price tag of the COVID relief bill under $1 trillion. And our calculations show that if we do up these checks to $2,000 per individual from what it is right now, it will cost an extra $370 billion. Obviously, that's Democrats say the costs of adding to the deficit are far lower. It's worth, getting more relief out to people who are still suffering under the weight of the pandemic right away. But for, deficit hawks, these fiscally minded conservatives who are really worried about all the spending that is going on, and adding an extra $370 billion in a way that they don't feel is smart and targeted is really something that is not getting a lot of support or won't get a lot of support among congressional Republicans.
Let's go back to our callers at 800-642-1234 with Ed in West Allis. Ed, hello.
Well, this is just the capstone of the zaniness of Trump for 4 years, and the Republicans own him. And this is going to really play in to the 2022 election, because that area up north was represented by a liberal Republican by the name of Alvin Okonski for 36 years. And then when he left office, that was a very Democratic seat. that Mr. Tiffany represents now, that Mr. Obi held. And we think that Mr. Tiffany gave us a great opportunity to defeat him in 2022, both by the shenanigans with the election, trying to find a way to put or have Trump remain in the White House, and now with his vote against the COVID-19 package. So I think Mr. Tiffany has another 2 years, and that seat is going to revert back to the Democrats in 2022.
And thanks for the call, referring there to one of our northern Wisconsin congressional seats, Sungmin. I don't know about thinking ahead to 2022, but a lot of people are thinking ahead to the Georgia Senate runoff election just next month. What are people thinking about as they look at what's happening with this relief bill and what's going on in Georgia?
Well, what people are thinking right now, both Democrats and Republicans who are desperately trying to hold on to those two seats, is that President Trump, with one swift move, with that one video, really undercut the two Republicans who are running for re-election or election outright to those seats, because Senate Republicans were motivated to put these $600 stimulus checks in part because, you know, David Perdue and Kelly Loeffler, the Republican candidates in Georgia, were coming under a lot of pressure from their Democratic challengers to provide more generous aid for Georgians and Americans throughout this crisis. So they are, and Senators Loeffler and Perdue proudly touted the bill that passed the Congress, you know, very late Monday night, and said, you know, we worked hard to get these $600 checks in there. And with one fell swoop, the president undercut them and said, this is not enough. I want $2,000. And that just gave the Democratic candidates in the race, John Ossoff and Raphael Warnock, another thing to latch on, saying Donald Trump is right on this one. Why won't you get on board directing that to Senators Perdue and Loeffler? So it's really, I mean, we've seen so much of a Republican divide in Georgia as the two Senate runoffs commence, whether it's over the president's baseless allegations of voting fraud and election fraud, or on this issue of the stimulus checks. And the Republican Party in disarray is certainly not going to help the Republican Party heading into the January 5th runoffs.
It's a week in Washington. We're talking to Sungmin Kim, White House reporter for The Washington Post. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Your thoughts on the president's last-minute call for changes on this COVID-19 relief bill and the overall spending bill, and his efforts to still overturn the results of the election. 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. We pick up our talk now with Sungmin Kim, White House reporter at The Washington Post, looking at some of the top political stories of the week. Let's go back to another caller on the COVID-19 economic relief package and the White House last-minute call for changes. Ryan is with us in Superior. Ryan, hi.
Hi.
Hey. What'd you want to bring up, Ryan?
Okay, I'll try and make this as quick as possible. First of all, I'm also from Tom Tiffany's area, from what the previous caller mentioned. I'll be glad when that guy is out of office. Anyways, as for the subject in hand, Trump, this is the one thing that Trump has said, which I think that we could all get behind. Even Pelosi has said that we could use larger checks for all Americans. And if the Democrats push real hard on this right now, we could actually get that done. We can unend like what the Republican establishment has laid forth with their plans, thanks to Trump's really insane rogue decision right here. We can actually get that done and get more help to the American people straight out if all the Democrats would unite together, stand with Trump on this one particular subject of bigger checks, and get this done.
Ryan, thanks for the call. Sungmin, I mean, does it look like members of Congress are going to vote on this change from $600 to $2,000 checks?
Well, I would keep an eye on C-SPAN tomorrow morning at about 9 a.m. Eastern time, when House Democrats are going to attempt to pass legislation that would increase the amount of that would increase the amount of checks to $2,000 by doing it basically unilaterally. Now, there's a couple of procedural, shenanigans that you would have to go through there. But this tactic is really meant on the part of Nancy Pelosi and our House Democrats to put Republicans in a tough position to, basically make them, force them to reject a demand that is being made by the president of their own party, both in the House and the Senate. You can pass things by unanimous consent, but as the name implies, it does have to be unanimous. So one person, one side can object to, as someone trying to pass legislation unilaterally. So there's certainly going to be a showdown tomorrow morning. It's going to be largely for show. I mean, we don't actually expect the House of Representatives to unanimously clear legislation that would boost the amount of checks to $2,000. But it clearly is going to be an uncomfortable moment for Republicans tomorrow morning.
Thanks for the call. We'll go to Laura in Madison now. Laura, hi.
Hello. Thanks for taking my call. Carrying through with what the comment was just made, I think it's an uncomfortable moment for everyone in our government. Decisions are being made about us in our home that continues to have that political underwriting. If the truth be known, $600 a family, we don't have the money in the government. We've just simply arbitrarily stated we're going to do it. And I'm okay with that. However, buried in this, and not so buried, because I can read it, you can read it, money is going to many special interest groups going outside of our country, going to situations that have nothing to do with COVID relief, and yet the bill is called COVID relief.
Laura, thanks a lot for the call. And Sungmin, one thing that makes it a little muddier is there's two things going on here, the spending bill and the COVID-19 package. Some things having nothing to do with COVID are, I think, in the COVID bill. A lot of those in the overall spending bill, too, though, right?
Right. And that's actually the confusion that's happening here, because if you listen to all the criticisms that the president laid out in his remarkable video last night, and as your caller laid out, the designated foreign aid abroad, that is technically not part of the COVID relief package. It is part of the annual government spending bill that, again, like we discussed earlier, passes every year, keeps, all 12 of the major federal departments and federal agencies running. Obviously, one of those is the State Department, and part of that is just this annual amount of foreign aid that the State Department doles out to various countries that the United States has deemed in need of foreign aid from the United States, the richest country in the world. And just to make it easier on Republicans and also on lawmakers, and also just because we don't have a lot of time before the holidays, both the administration and congressional leaders agreed to basically make that one big massive package. So you have the government spending bill on one side and the COVID relief package with the stimulus checks, with the extension on moratoriums for evictions, with the expanded unemployment benefits, all that in that COVID relief package. That was paired together in just kind of this one big mega package. So the president is really, intentionally or not, is conflating the two things here. The parts that he laid out weren't part of the COVID relief package. And also, it was actually incidentally the amount of the, for example, the foreign aid that the Congress had designated was precisely the amount requested by his own administration in their budget requests earlier this year. So they're not doing anything kind of sneaky or nefarious or new. This is just all part of the process and also part of something that his own administration recommended.
Thanks for that call. And Sungmin, I want to spend our last few minutes on another story. You're covering difficulties facing Republicans as President Trump keeps trying to overturn the election results, and they're figuring out when and if they can move along. What are you seeing?
So right now we're seeing a Republican Party that's kind of in open warfare over the president's refusal to accept the fact that he lost and that Joe Biden is the president-elect. Obviously, after the Electoral College certification last week, you had very senior Republican officials, including Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell, say that the Biden is the rightful winner of the November 3rd elections. But you see this increasing effort led by House conservatives to contest the results on the House floor on January 6th. I mean, this is a process that happens every 4 years. The Congress meets in a joint session, both House and the Senate, to essentially certify what the Electoral College has done. And there is a process in place to object to those results. Now, obviously, those objections will fail because Democrats clearly have accepted the fact that Joe Biden won the presidency, and as have a lot of Republicans. And, you know, even if they're not happy about it, they respect the process and they respect the will of the voters. But, you know, a growing number of House conservatives are latching on to this, to the baseless claims that the president has floated that this election was rigged and that, you know, the results must be overturned. The president is kind of egging on this effort. Mitch McConnell and his top deputies are shooting it down, saying this is an effort that we just cannot do. We have to respect what the Electoral College and what the voters decided. And that in turn is making President Trump very angry. You know, he sent around an email blasting McConnell and his, you know, and basically taking credit for McConnell's own political standing in Kentucky. And he threatened a primary challenge to Senator John Thune, who of South Dakota, who is the second ranking Republican, so the second most powerful Republican leader after Mitch McConnell. So you do see a party that is just, again, kind of in open warfare right now, and all because the president of the United States cannot accept the fact that he lost.
We'll leave it there. Sungmin, thanks for joining us again today.
Thanks so much for having me.
Sungmin Kim is a White House reporter at The Washington Post. She joined us today to talk about some of the top stories in politics this week, including President Trump calling for Congress to amend the COVID-19 relief bill it passed earlier this week.